You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Ha cha 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 cha.
Hello and welcome to the 59th episode of TuneCast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network, which has hit the 1 year mark. I am your host, TFG on Mike, and today I am joined by Steve Megatron, his first episode in almost 6 months.
Pretty much. Hello.
His first episode on this show in almost 6 months. I think the last time we saw you was the G.I. Joe episode.
Yes, 25.
Yes, 25.
Long time ago.
Yes, very, very long time ago. And today, Evan's not here. He pretty much told me he really has no input on this cartoon series we're going to be talking about today. But it will be SWAT Cats, the Radical Squadron. So how are you, sir?
Pretty damn well. We've finally hit the one-year mark on Geekcast Radio.
Yep.
Which was obviously a couple weeks ago, but
yeah, this episode is actually being recorded 2 days after the 1 year anniversary, but it will go up early mid-July, I think. I don't know, it'll probably be middle of June. I forget. I don't know. But anyway, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
That's good.
Yes, don't beat me. I have no idea.
Yes, a Comcast master, don't beat me. I want my internet, you bastards.
Yeah, that's basically what I told them.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that here, but yeah. So anyway, getting right into the history lesson here. We have SWAT Cats, the Radical Squadron, which is an animated series for television created by Christian Tremblay and Yvonne Tremblay and produced by Hanna-Barbera Productions and Turner Program Services. Every episode of the series was directed by Robert Alvarez. The bulk of the series was written by either Glenn Leopold, 13 episodes, or Lance Falk, 6 episodes. Jim Stenstrom contributed 2 episodes, while David Ehrman, Vaughn Williams, Eric Clark with Lance Falk, wow, there's a lot of names I don't really know. The show ran in syndication as part of the Fantastic World of Hanna-Barbera from 1993 to 1995, when it was given its series finale. There were a total of 25 finished episodes and a special episode that features a report on the SWAT Cats and of all their missions and gadgets, as well as 3 unfinished episodes and 2 episodes still in the concept stage. The show was based in the fictional metropolis of Mega Cat City, which is populated entirely by anthropomorphic felines known as cats, spelled with a K. So that's it for the history lesson. As far as general memories, Steve, what do you remember about SWAT Cats?
I remember liking it a lot just because it had that new, it was like this a new stage in animation where they started hitting some kind of a grungy look to animation.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked it because it was an American grungy. I mean, it didn't have that Japanimation look to it. I mean, it did have some of the angular type things that they use now, obviously, in things like Teen Titans and TF Animated and some of the angles that they used in this. But as far as that was concerned, I really dug the designs of the cats. I loved their battleship.
Yeah, the turbojet.
Yes, the turbojet. I loved that fucking jet.
Yeah, everybody wants a Turbo Cat.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, exactly.
It's got all those nice little tools on it. It's like the Batmobile in the air.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, one of the voices, I can't remember which one, it was the voice of Donatello.
Yeah, that would be Jake Clausen, alias Razor. It was voiced by Barry Gordon. Yep.
Yep, I remember that very fondly. The other guy, I don't remember who voiced him, but I liked both of those characters.
You're going to be very surprised as to who voiced him. Chance Furlong, alias T-Bone, was voiced by none other than Buster Bunny, Charlie Adler.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I can kind of see the thought of it going around in my mind.
Yeah.
It does fit.
Yes, it does. And, it's funny, I remember this show, but I don't remember watching it in its initial run. I started watching it when it was re-airing on Boomerang. And I'm like, wait, this show is so familiar. How do I know this show? How do I know these characters? I've seen these episodes before. And it just had some sort of familiarity to me, but at the same time, I did not remember watching it in the initial 93 to 95 run. So, I don't know. So, going right into the characters here, Chance Furlong, as I said, alias T-Bone, who is voiced by Charlie Adler, the leader member of the SWAT Cats and pilot of the Turbo Cat jet. T-Bone was one of the best pilots in the SWAT Cat universe, as seen in Cry Turmoil. He loved aerial warfare history as seen in the Ghost Pilot and Scaredy Cat cartoons. He was revealed in the Psycata that he was a strong dislike of bugs that he eventually overcame in Mutation City. It was revealed that he was unable to swim, although later in the episode he learned and rescued an unconscious Razor from drowning. He's very protective of his partner in the Turbo Cat and got extremely upset if anything happened to either. He has a huge crush on Callie Briggs, but never got any attention from her. Chance was also the more daring of the two. His willingness to take chances, especially when in the Turbo Cat, Chance commonly flew the Turbo Cat out of tough situations, refusing to eject and coaxing his baby, the Turbo Cat, to perform. I like him. He's a good match to Razor, but he's not my favorite character at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's not my favorite, but that's more so to do with the fact that I liked Razor more so, just because he was the gadget man. He was basically a cat version of Donatello.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's basically Donatello in a cat suit.
Yeah, I mean, that to me made the whole, character.
Yep. So speaking of Razor, Jake Clausen, who was voiced by Barry Gordon, the smaller member of the SWAT Cats, who was a mechanical genius, he designed the various gadgets and advanced weaponry used in the Turbo Cat, and he serves as the radar interceptor and weapons control officer, or Rio, in the Turbo Cat. He was a martial arts master. He was more measured and restrained of the two cats. In Razor's Edge, he lost his self-confidence in fighting because he had hurt two pedestrians, but recovered from this upon discovering it was a setup by Dark Cat. He loved the late-night show with David Letterman. Oh, God.
Ugh. Nice.
Oh, God. Ugh. Wow.
Talk about a cheap pun.
Yeah. Like we've said already, We both love Razor. Razor is just awesome because, as we said, it's Donatello in a cat suit. So that was very, very cool. Next up is Callie Briggs, who is voiced by Tress McNeil. She is the deputy mayor of Mega Cat City and the one who did the real work of City Hall. The SWAT Cat's biggest supporter, she had a radio communicator which enabled her to call them directly when danger threatened the city. I like her. She's okay. I wouldn't say she's basically an April O'Neil, but
She's pretty damn close, except for the fact that she's more useful.
Yeah.
And she isn't annoying. I mean, she can be at some times, but not to the extent of April O'Neil.
Yeah, and not to the extent of the actual mayor. Basically, I equate Callie to, and I know people are going to really hate me equating this, but she's basically Miss Bellum from the Powerpuff Girls.
You know, I was actually thinking that. She's the one that has to handle the buffoon of a mayor.
Yeah.
and suggest, you know, maybe we should actually have them help us. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, but I'm still going to arrest them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not really the mayor, and we'll get to the mayor here in a minute, but it's not really the mayor that wants to arrest them. It's the next character, Commander Ulysses Farrell, voiced by Gary Owens. Head of the Enforcers, Farrell has had a strong and obvious dislike for the SWAT cats, whom he considered reckless vigilantes. He had worked with the SWAT cats when the situation called for it, such as in Catastrophe and A Bright and Shiny Future, but he more often called on his men, saying, "The Enforcers will handle this, and get me a chopper back up." The SWAT cats themselves held him in contempt, since when they themselves were enforcers, he had fired them for their reckless flying. But it had really been his fault for having interfered in the first place. I like Farrell's voice. That's about it.
Yeah, his character was...
so one-dimensional.
It was Sentinel Prime with a better voice.
Oh, wow.
That's just as far as I'm going to go with him, just because he's a freaking airhead and has to have somebody else suggest, you know, maybe we should do this.
At least his chin didn't go on for miles and miles and miles and miles.
But it was out there. So there seems to be a trend.
Yes, yes.
The annoying moron hero character.
Yeah.
They have different voices, but they're one and the same.
Yep. Lieutenant Felina Farrell is voiced by Laurie Allen. Commander Ulysses Farrell's niece, she was the daughter of Farrell's brother, first appeared in Season 2's Mutation City as a new female heroine. Being something of a reckless hothead herself, she appreciated the help of the SWAT cats, unlike her uncle. She would work openly with them. Out of the two of them, she seemed to like T-Bone the best. Farrell himself faced something of a dilemma over her, trying to keep her out of danger but not show any favorable treatment. She was also a very skilled pilot, as seen in When Strikes Mutiler and Cry Turmoil. She wouldn't take no for an answer, in fact, which T-Bone once remarked, "You are one stubborn she-cat." And it's funny, it switches right to the, after her character, the wiki information switches right to the villains. It doesn't even mention Mayor Manx, unless he's in, background character things. I'm looking down here, but I don't see him, so... He's listed in other characters, so we'll get to him later. As far as the villains, Dark Cat. Dark Cat, voiced by the late Brock Peters. Dark Cat was the main arch enemy of the SWAT Cats. He is very large, intelligent, and evil. Dark Cat wanted to destroy Mega Cat City to create a new lawless town called Dark Cat City. Wow. I guess he is pretty much your usual run-of-the-mill, want to take over the world, take over the city type of person.
Yeah, he does fulfill that need, but at the same time it's just another wannabe, like, Megatron type-ish.
Yeah, but the voice was pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, I can't deny that. This entire voice cast was pretty kick-ass.
Yep. Especially the, I'll mention Dark Cat's creeplings. The vocal effects were provided by Charlie Adler. Small pink bat-like creatures that were extremely vicious and appeared to be protected from radiation. I didn't really care about the creeplings. The next main character villain was Dr. Viper, voiced by none other than Megatron himself, Frank Welker. Dr. Elrod Purvis, who worked at Megacat Biochemical Labs, tried to steal an experimental regenerative formula he and Dr. Enzine were developing. He became covered in the formula when he fell down the stairs, and the shock ultimately killed him. The chemicals revived him from death, mutilating Purvis into a snake-like creature with knowledge in the fields of biology, genetics, and robotics. He sought to turn Megacat City into Mutation City, where he would reign as its absolute ruler. He was able to turn people like Morbius into monsters, or Morbils into monsters. He was by far the deadliest enemy of the SWAT cats, and he and his creatures murdered a number of innocent people, including his former colleague, Dr. Enzine. In the series, he was similar to the Spider-Man villain, the Lizard. He first appeared in The Giant Bacteria. The voicing was awesome. And I'm not saying that just because it is Frank Welker. I'm just saying it, for the character, the voice fit.
Well, honestly, I didn't even know that was Welker until now. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely loved that villain. He was actually one of my favorites next to Dark Cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next up is Mac and Molly Mange, who are voiced respectively by Neil Ross and April Winchell. The husband and wife criminal team, the Metallicats, they drowned in a boat when they were hit by a larger boat while attempting to escape from Alcatraz. Oh my god. Oh, the puns that they took out of this. Oh lord. Their bodies were found by Professor Hackle's robot servants, and their minds were placed in the brains of robots. Mac was supposed to be a robot chauffeur, though ironically he was poor driver, and Molly was to be a robot maid, but instead remained criminals. They had a vendetta against Mayor Manx for denying their parole request when it turned out that it had been Callie Briggs who had denied their parole, as Mayor Manx would have been too busy to handle it. Yeah, too busy doing what? Playing golf horribly?
Well, yeah, he was brain dead. There was no point in even...
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's another Powerpuff Girls moment.
Yep. I like these two. They kind of serve a purpose. They're kind of cool. Usually most of their plots ended up being foiled by themselves because they would get jealous or they would get in arguments. So that was kind of a comedy routine for this.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they had metal cats.
Yeah, metallic cats, yeah.
It was kind of like a Sonic moment to me.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I liked their characters, and I liked them bickering. It was quite fun to watch.
Oh, yes, it was. Up next, we have the Pastmaster. Voiced by the late Keen Curtis, an undead sorcerer from the Dark Ages who tried to conquer his home city. He traveled through time using his magical mechanical pocket watch and with his magical book, the Tome of Time. He was able to summon extinct or mythical creatures such as dinosaurs and dragons. Although the tome was destroyed in his first appearance, he sought to transport Megacat City back to the Middle Ages. He first appeared in The Pastmaster Always Rings Twice. In a bright and shiny future, the SWAT cats were drawn into the future where Metallicats, together with the Pastmaster, had created a Terminator-inspired future where machines ruled over catkind. Oh, Lord, catkind. Oh, God, all these fucking cat puns are getting to me already. All the Pastmaster really wanted was to go back home to his own time. He was occasionally shown to lust after Callie Briggs, the spitting our spirit image of her ancestor, Queen Callista, and the Pastmaster's agent, Crush. He repeatedly captured her and asked her to marry him, but Callie would have none of it. He disappeared without a trace in the Deadly Pyramid. He's a good one-off villain. I'm glad they didn't make him a series villain like Dark Cat or Dr. Viper. But he did have some good episodes.
Yeah, I don't personally remember any of the following villains after. Because I honestly, mostly what I ended up catching were reruns of the same episodes.
Yeah.
And even though I knew what was going to happen, I kept watching.
Yeah. I remember Hard Drive, who was voiced by Rob Paulsen. I remember him. I don't remember Dr. Harley Street. I kind of remember Mad Cat. Rex Shard, I kind of remember, but not really. And then the rest of them, no, not at all. We should talk about the Dark SWAT Cats, who are also voiced by Charlie and Barry, respectively. Villainous variations of the SWAT Cats from the parallel dimension accessed by the real SWAT Cats by accident. They serve an alternate dimension's Dark Cat and plot with the alternate Callie Briggs to overthrow Mega Cat City's government. They exhibit alternate characteristics to the real SWAT Cats, such as T-Bone being a clumsy pilot, Razor being a lousy shot, and the two of them hating each other. They were killed when a bomb they were carrying exploded. They only appeared in the dark side of the SWAT Cats. I guess everybody has to have a shattered glass version of themselves.
You know, I'm almost surprised they didn't actually do this in any kind of Transformer actual cartoon.
Oh.
Because I think this worked really well in mm-hmm. SWAT Cats.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because it just threw the whole dynamic into a kind of weird whirlwind. You didn't know really what was coming.
Let me just say this. I know that Generation 1 is dead. It happened 25 years ago. I get that. But if at all they ever went back to that animation style, those characters, those voices, and they put... It would be so easy to adapt the Shattered Glass Transformers comic from BotCon 08 into a cartoon episode where Cliffjumper goes through time or goes to an alternate dimension. There's so many cartoons that do alternate dimension stories nowadays. It would be so easy to adapt that, and I wish they would, but I know they never will.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mayor Manx, as far as other characters, since we're done with the villains, voiced by Jim Cummings. Wow, Darkwing Duck voiced Mayor Manx. Holy crap. Mayor of Mega Cat City for 10 terms. Wow. They really need to vote somebody else in. He spent nearly all of his time working on his golf game. As Kelly once stated, he hasn't done an ounce of paperwork in years. He also tried to rent out Mega Cat Towers to investors, a first season running gag, had the building constantly being ruined in the destructive nature and the Psychatica. He was descended from a famous and brave fighter pilot named the Blue Manx, who was the sworn enemy of the Red Lanx, as revealed in The Ghost Pilot. But contrast to his ancestor, Mayor Manx was a coward who usually ran and hid whenever danger arose, but he did act bravely to shoot down the ghost of the Red Lanx in the same episode, doing so only after Razor goaded him into action on the grounds that he would not be reelected if he did not fight back. That's funny.
Yeah, that's right. They like bribery.
Yep.
Especially when it leads to more money and power.
Yes. Shall we talk about the Lois Lane of the series, N'Gora?
Sure.
Voiced by Candy Milo, the star reporter for Cat's Eye News, she was usually on the scene whenever the SWAT Cats were in action, and she had been rescued by the SWAT Cats in the Psychatica and Caverns of Horror, besides Deputy Mayor Briggs, and had also warned the SWAT Cats a few times of dangerous situations. Her name was a pun on the cat breed Angora, or Turkish Angora. She was okay.
Yeah, I mean, she was one of those characters that you could have easily done without, but she was noticeable enough to be annoying.
Yeah. As far as the rest of them, I remember them, but they're not really that noticeable. They're really not really that worth mentioning.
No, but I do see that Frank Welker had another credit, and Mark Hamill surprisingly had two characters.
Yeah, Johnny K. Angora's cameraman.
Yeah, and Welker was the helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
And then Hamill had another character down the list of...
Yeah, he's either Burke or Murray. I don't know which one.
I think he's Burke, and I think Charlie Adler's Murray.
Okay.
Yeah, but... Other than that.
Yeah, I put in the... So who would you say is your favorite character out of the series?
Out of the series? Yeah. I would have to say... And... My mind went a blank. for the villains, I'd have to say Viper.
Yeah.
Just because he was just so weird, cruel, and freaky.
Yeah.
And then if I want to go the techno background, I would say Razor.
Yeah.
And for, obviously, the gutsy, ballsy turbocat flyer, I'd have to say T-Bone. Overall, I'd probably say Razor.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite hero was Razor, and favorite villain, I guess, would probably be either Dark Cat or Passmaster. As far as the cast list, we've kind of already mentioned a lot of them, but Ed Gilbert had a few voices in this, just like background voices. Robert Ito was Mr. Young in two episodes. Just a great, great voice cast. Moving on into the behind-the-scenes segment here. It was written and directed by a bunch of people. I honestly don't recognize half of them. Robert Alvarez I recognize, and Lance Falk.
Yeah, those are the only two I recognize as well.
Yeah. So, moving into the actual show. Chance T-Bone Furlong and Jake Razor Clausen were members of the Megacat City's paramilitary law enforcement agency known as the Enforcers. Unfortunately, the Enforcers were commanded by a certain Commander Farrell, a power mad and overbearing but hopelessly incompetent enforcer who was believed to have owed his position entirely to political machinations. While in pursuit of Dark Cat, one of the main arch-villains of the series, the two rebelled against Enforcer Commander Farrell's orders to fall back and leave Dark Cat to him. When they objected, citing their already acquired target lock, Commander Farrell used his jet to slap their wing, sending Chance and Jake's jet crashing into the Enforcer headquarters and allowing Dark Cat to get away. In his anger, Farrell discharged Chance and Jake from the Enforcers and reassigned them to work the city's military salvage yard to pay for the damage to the Enforcer headquarters. Using discarded military parts and weapons from the salvage yard, Chance and Jake built themselves a three-engine jet fighter called the Turbocat, which resembled several different jet fighters, most notably the Grumman F-14 and Saab Draken, along with a handful of such other vehicles as the Cyclotron, a motorcycle built into the jet, the Turbo Mole, a subterranean vehicle used to drill underground, and a Hovercat, a militarized hovercraft. The Thunder Truck. Wow, that sounds like it should belong in Thundercats.
Thunder Truck, go!
No, Thunder Truck, ho! Oh! God, that's horrible. They commenced to patrol Megacat City as the SWAT Cats, defending it against any kind of menace and threat in the city. Their enemies included the criminal mastermind Dark Cat, the undead sorcerer, the Passmaster, the mutant evil genius Dr. Viper, and robotic gangsters, the Metallicats. The SWAT Cats also faced many villains of the week, such as Mad Cat and Vulcanus. T-Bone and Razor kept their identity secret from everyone, and their closest ally became Deputy Mayor Kelly Briggs, who was ironically a character more important than the mayor himself, as we've said before. Select episodes of the show were released on VHS and in NTSC format. Remco produced a line of action figures in 1994, which included T-Bone, Razor, Dr. Viper, and Dark Cat. They can be seen at the link that's in the page here that you guys can't see.
VirtualToyChest.com.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Other products were produced, including Super Nintendo game and a handheld game, posters and fast food tie-ins at Carl's Jr. and White Castle. Wow. I've never heard of Carl's Jr., but White Castle promotions for SWAT Cats? Yikes.
Well, that's the same place that gives you a piece of cardboard on a dinner roll, so I mean, I don't know.
yeah. <That's funny. laughs> Wow.
As far as the theme songs are concerned...
Well, we haven't got there. We haven't got there yet. Boom! Alright, moving on to the music segment. The music for SWAT Cats was done by Randall Chrisman, Nick Brown, and John Zucker. There were two different themes, one for Season 1 and one for Season 2. We like the Season 2 one better, because it's more of a rock theme. And it's the theme to GCRN Wars. Moving on to the Legacy segment here. SWAT Cats became the number one syndicated animated show of 1994, according to Nielsen Television Index and Nielsen Syndication Service. Hanna-Barbera Productions also stated that in the SWAT Cats poster that they were going to release new episodes, posters, and other works in 1995. Toon Magazine also published a section about the success of SWAT Cats in the fall of 94 issue. Model sheets of characters were also released in the same issue. The show was canceled with three unfinished episodes in a 1995 issue of Entertainment Weekly. Ted Turner stated, "We have more cartoons than anybody. The Flintstones, the Jetsons, the Smurfs, Scooby-Doo. They are nonviolent. We don't have to worry about encouraging kids to kill each other like some of the other cartoon programs do." In addition, before the Turner-Time Warner merger, Hanna-Barbera Productions ended their syndication block, The Fantastic World of Hanna-Barbera, to focus on producing original works for Cartoon Network. That doesn't really give us an exact reason why SWAT Cats was canceled, but I guess, whatever. There was a video game for it. Only one game about the SWAT Cats has been made. It was produced by Hudson Soft and released on August 1995 for the SNES. Ooh, I'm going to have to find that. eBay, here I come. It is a 2D action platformer which features a character select screen where the player can choose between T-Bone or Razor, a level select screen, and a password system. The third-person flying sequences in the Turbo Cat Fighter, and it is based on various episodes of the show and features a different boss for each world, with Dark Cat as the final boss. All worlds contain an urgent message from Mayor Manx prior to the start of each world. Sadly, there's no word has been given on when Warner Brothers would plan a future DVD set release of the series for the HB Classics collection at the present time. This needs to be on DVD now. It just does.
Do it now! Or pay the price. It's very high.
Alright, so that's it for this episode of Tooncast. We will be right back after this.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
This is The Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
Do not be alarmed. This transmission is being jacked by the lunchroom. We are here to tell you that the lunchroom has been rebooted. It is now a part of the GeekCast Radio Network, and is still available at thelunchroom.net. It debuts every Monday or Wednesday or whenever we see fit to give it to you. Any further information can be found at thelunchroom.net. We will now return you to your regular program.
Did you know that Justin Bieber is actually Webster in a girl suit? Did you know that Teddy Ruxpin's friend Grubby actually a tapeworm?
Did you know that Gargamel was really a cat lady?
Did you know that Billy Zane is the only man to ever beat Chuck Norris? If you didn't know any of these things, then you should be currently listening to Chicken Pop Pod Retro Comedy Podcast. Catch it at chickenpoppod.com.
Indeed I am, Michael. And I am here to help you and Kevin take over podcasting.
Now back to Tooncast.
So, final thoughts on SWAT Cats. What are your final thoughts, Steve?
Superbly awesome. If you like dark American comedy, or not comedy, well, it does have comedy, but cartoon styles, definitely a show to check out. If you're a fan of, like, you know, Ninja Turtles or anything similar in that kind of style, or, you know, various other shows that you've probably listened to in this show, it syncs right in line with a lot of the other shows that have been covered.
Yes, it does.
Definitely a must watch.
Yes, I completely agree. I love this show. It's so awesome. So, thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. There are several ways you can contact with us or leave feedback for the show. You can email us. Mine is tfg1mike@gmail.com. His is steve@geekcastradio.com. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, as I said. Join the forums, protoconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Show name there is GCRN Tooncast. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. Voicemail line, still dead. Don't worry. So yeah, don't call us.
We'll call you.
Scary. Very scary. We hope you...
we will get your numbers and take them to us.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time when we were reminiscing on Garfield and Friends. For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Odie. Steve Megatron Phillips.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Garfield and Friends.
We're ready to party.
Yeah.
I hope you bring lots of spaghetti.
Come on in, come to my friend's party. Come on in, fun party with Garfield and Friends.
Fiesta!
Rumba!
La Bamba!
Ay, caramba!
Disguises!
And
pies up!
And pies up!
All sizes!
Come on in, come to the place where fun never ends!
You bet!
Come on in, it's time to party with Garfield and Friends! Come on in, it's time to party with Garfield and Friends! Garfield and Friends!
Hey, you chewing the gum. I hope you brought enough for everybody.
I love you.
Shut up, bitch. I'm not done.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?